We're so glad you joined us this morning. Those online, welcome, and we're glad you're joining us as well. Happy Mother's Day to all the moms watching and in the room. And we have something special for you when you leave this morning. So when you have a mom, and I was grateful too for so many years, who loved the Lord, that you will run into things along the way. So a few weeks ago, we were redoing my office. I was given some furniture, blessed by that, and that meant going through all my books, which is a lot. I inherited the disease from my mother, okay, and some of you helped us move stuff out of her apartment, and you know, box after box after box. So I grabbed ones that were good for study, but if you've ever grabbed one of her books, and she has we had a little bookcase in the back with some of her books on it, about in every book where she wrote her name, she also wrote a Bible verse. That Bible verse is 1 John 5:12. Whoever is the Son is life. Whoever does not have God's Son does not have life. And so just a simple thing of picking up a book that's, you know, falling apart, but is a great study material, that was my mom's, has reminded me about her faith and the legacy that me and my sister got to enjoy growing up and continue to do now. So you have no idea, moms, the impact you can have and how that impact can far linger your life here on earth. I've used this quote, and so somebody reminded me of this and said, why don't you just talk about this on Mother's Day? Okay, there we go. Your greatest contribution to the kingdom of God might not be something you do, but someone you raise. I did not come up with this. This is way better than anything I could come up with. But a preacher by the name of Andy Stanley came up with this and used it quite often to remind people, your greatest contribution might not be something you do, right? We always want to do something, accomplish something, get our name on something. And his reminder was, guess what? That might not be your greatest contribution. Your greatest contribution might be someone you raise. So think about that. And how are you going to do that? And how are you going to do that well? We have an incredible biblical example of this. We probably have several. But we're going to look at Timothy. Because Paul knew something about Timothy's family. And he kind of reflects on it and reminds us of it. And then I'm hoping just to kind of give some reminders this morning. Like you're going to know all this stuff, okay? I'm not saying anything new this morning, but hopefully it will remind you and encourage you, all you moms here this morning. So 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 3 through 5, Paul refers to, as he's writing his second letter to Timothy, we believe this is one of the last things that Paul ever wrote before he was executed in Rome for believing that what? Jesus is king. Jesus is God. Caesar isn't, and he was ultimately killed because he wouldn't follow along with what was being asked of him. So this is one of his last letters, and he's writing to Timothy, who he calls a son, and he wants to remind him of some things. So he just starts off this way, I'm thankful to God, whom I have served with a clear conscience as my ancestors did. When I remember you, and he's specifically Timothy, in my prayers, as I do constantly, night and day. As I remember your tears, I long to see you so that I may be filled with joy. And by the way, we know he never saw Timothy again. But that was his urge. He wanted to see him again and encourage him. And then he says this, I recall your sincere faith that when Paul showed up in Lystra the second time. So the first time he travels with a guy by the name of Barnabas in his first missionary journey, and he arrives at this town called Lystra. And as he did, he went in the synagogue and he preached that, hey, we don't have to look for the Messiah anymore, Jewish people. He has come, he is here, this is awesome, this is amazing. Trust in him, believe in him. He gave that message, he moved on to the next town, uncertain of what happened and all that took place there. When he arrives in Lystra the second time, his second missionary journey, this time he is with a man by the name of Silas, and he gets to Lystra, he meets a family. He meets a grandma, he meets a mom, and he meets the son. And the son has a reputation that we're going to see in a moment. And when that happens, he is amazed by what took place. So as he's reflecting back, he went to that first journey, walked in that synagogue and preached the gospel, and this family responded in faith. And he watched what happened. So he said, I recall your sincere faith. That first, that where did it start? In your grandmother, okay? If you are fortunate here this morning, you had a grandma who loved Jesus, okay? And why is that important? Because they made sure and they helped you or they encouraged you. That is my story. I've told it before. My grandma's the one that led me to Christ. That's who my grandma was. Loved the Lord. That wasn't her story her entire life. She came to know the Lord after she got married. And the funny thing is, she went to church. She went to church and didn't know Jesus, okay? And so her thought was, okay, doesn't matter if you're in church. Do you know Jesus? That's the question. And so I understand this. And if you're in the room and you were fortunate enough and blessed enough to have a grandma who loved Jesus and instill that in you, that's what he's saying. Timothy, you know where that faith first was? In your grandma, okay? Who was a devoted follower. She was a Jewish follower. She just simply knew the Old Testament, knew what it said, was waiting for Jesus to come. And when she heard that he had come, she started following him. And then he said it wasn't just there. The next generation, your mother Eunice, she got a hold of that same faith as well. And she started following along. And I am sure is in you. Now, the question is, where's Timothy's dad? We don't know. It's never made mention. We don't know if Paul ever met him. We don't know if he's dead at this point. We really don't know nothing about him. But when Paul looks at Timothy and he says, where were the foundations of faith? I remind you of this. Grandma and Ma, okay? They did a really good job of following. And they helped you as well to follow along, okay? So in Acts 16, I just want to back up to the second visit that Paul makes into Lystra, okay? Where he's not sure what has happened after he's been there the first time and preached the gospel, but things have connected, people started following Jesus, and this is what he finds. He also came to Derbe and to, here's Lystra. A disciple named Timothy was there. The son of a Jewish woman who was a believer, but whose father was a Greek. The brothers in Lystra and Iconium spoke well of him. See, Paul knew the entire family, and he saw that legacy of faith. That's what he watched. That's what he just watched unfold. And so as he got to know Timothy, and Timothy went on journeys with him. Ultimately, he leaves Timothy in Ephesus and says, I need to lead this section, okay? I need you to lead this section, which Timothy does until the day he dies. He is in the city of Ephesus. And Paul saw that legacy. And he said, Timothy, it's one about you. I want you to understand, I want you to be grateful for your mom and for your grandmother who both took the time to instill faith into you. They both did that, okay? Lois to Eunice to Timothy, okay? And if you were here this morning, you are fortunate enough to have even one generation that followed Jesus. Your mom does, and that's what influenced you. And maybe you can't say that about your grandmother. But if you got one generation, you're blessed. You got two generations, you are doubly blessed. And if you can go back further than that, that's amazing, and that is awesome. And we should be incredibly grateful to God for that. So, how do you lead that? How do you make sure that's what's happening in your life, moms? How are you making sure you're doing that with your kids? Some of you in the room are grandmas. How are you making sure you're going into that next generation and you are the person that wants to see that faith continue? And you want to see your grandkids say, yeah, you know why I'm following Jesus? Because my mom did and my grandma did and they helped me and they kind of built into my life. And how are you going to do that? So this is what I mean by it. I want to give you a few reminders today. This is nothing earth-shattering. Probably you all know this stuff, okay? But sometimes we don't need to be taught something new. We need to be reminded of something we've already known and just forgotten about because we're just inundated all the time with different things. So I'm just hoping this morning to remind you of some things that you can be doing right now, some things that should be a part of your life, some really simple statements, some simple ideas that you should do. Number one, no one else will be their mom, so be their mom. You know what this means? You know, try to be their best friend's mom, okay? Start there, okay? See, I had to learn this in a different way, okay? Because, I asked a friend, because my mom came here and was a part of this church, okay? And so I wanted to make sure that her first duty in this church was what? My mother, nothing else. You don't do nothing else. I don't need you to talk to anybody. I don't need you to influence people. I don't need you to say, oh, Ed wants to get this done. Who can I go talk to? Okay, twist her arm a little bit, whatever. No, I didn't need to do that. That's tempting, okay? That's tempting. And she probably would have done some of that if I wanted her to do, okay? Because that's just what it is, right? You do anything for your kids. And so I asked a friend about this, okay? Because this seemed a little weird. My mom is now in the audience, okay? She knows more about me than anybody else in the room, okay? This could be interesting, okay? She knows lots. She knows where all the dirt's hidden, right? So, right, you got to make sure you tell the right stories or you'll get that never happens, right? That never took place, okay? So you always have to make sure of that, okay? So I wanted to make sure that when she came here, she is my mom. No other expectations, nothing else. Nothing else that she needed to do or worry about. She wasn't trying to fulfill my agenda or anything else. Nope, you're my mom. That means there's some things I didn't tell her. Some things she didn't know about. There's some things when days were hard and stressful, she did not know that. Because I didn't want her to know that. Because then she would have moved to, okay, and come on, all the moms in the room know this. You get a little mother bearish, okay? A little protective of the cubs, okay? And you will tear anybody apart, okay? If anybody comes near your babies, okay? So just own it. It's okay. Just own it this morning. And so I want to make sure she was never in that position. So for all you moms out there, I'm just going to tell you, you're their mom, so be their mom. Just be their mom. Can you just do that, okay? You don't have to worry about, yeah, but when they grow up, I want them to like me. It'll be fine, okay? It'll be okay. Just be their mom. See, I told you that was simple, right? You're all going to do that. Single moms. For all single moms watching in the room, okay? Hardest, you guys are awesome. For what you do and where you are and what is going on in your life, you are amazing, okay? Here's what I just remind you. Your kids need a godly man to speak into their lives. That might be a relative. Great. Let that happen. That might be someone in church. The church is supposed to be this family of new birth. You hear me talk about it all the time. Family of new birth. And we need to be reminded of that. So I'm going to tell you, you just need that to happen. Your daughters and your sons need a godly man to speak into their life. I didn't say they need a man. They need a godly man to speak into their life, to have influence, to offer direction. You're doing an amazing job. But there's a reason that God gave us both moms and dads because both are equally important. And we need to understand that. So when it's not there, how are you going to make sure that's provided? How are you going to make sure that's provided? That a godly man is speaking into the life of your sons and your daughters. That's what I would encourage you to really think about this morning. Is that happening? Is that taking place? And if it's not, then who is around me? Who is around me? Who is around in my family? Who's around in my church that could actually do that? This is really important. Think about that and make sure that's a reality in your family, in your household. Number three, priorities matter. What do I mean by priorities matter? If you get these out of line, I'm going to tell you it's going to lead to some struggling. There's a way that God has set us up to have priorities, and if we would follow those things, I think we would see that God has a plan in the midst of all of this. So what is that? Okay? And in this order, ladies, Christian, you're following Jesus, wife, mom, if you get these out of order, okay, you can mess everything up, okay? You are not a mom first, above almost, and, you know, above everything, and Jesus, you can just later, okay? Sorry, Jesus, I'm a mom first. No, Christian, Jesus first, wife second. Why is that important? Because there's a lot of marriages that end when the kids leave. Why? Well, mom and dad put everything in the kids. The kids were the highest priority. The kids took everything. And so you went over and over again and you poured yourself into that. And then you kind of look at each other and go, who are you? We're what? Okay, we're actually married? Are you serious? I thought we were just two people living in the same house, surviving, right, our kids, okay? And if that's not a priority, then that can happen. It is happening in our culture. So you got to be careful and you got to guard that, because that's number two. That is your second duty. Then it's mom. And everything else falls and comes after those top three things. And if you get them out of order, you're just going to mess things up in your life. You just will. That's what happens. We don't mean to. We think, oh no, I got to, whatever it is. Okay? So this means, go back to what we were saying before. For single moms, what does this mean? Because number two is out. Christian, mom, right? That means, okay, I got to be careful who comes in, who gets added into the mix. Why? Because now, because priorities have shifted because of what went on, it's Christian, mom, okay? That's how it falls together. For single moms, if you get that top one wrong and you just shove it aside and I have plenty of time to follow Jesus, I have plenty of time to do things Jesus wants, I'm just going to tell you, you'll wake up with regrets. Lois and Eunice at some point got this right. That led to Timothy, Christian, wife, mom. If you get those out of order, you're going to miss this legacy of faith. You're going to miss this. And sometimes I'm just telling you, it's so easy to do. It's such an easy trap. But get this in order and just ask, how am I doing on this? Right? How am I doing on this? Okay? For the guys in the room, it's the same thing. Christian, husband, father. Your kids are not more important than your spouse. And sometimes we do things, we just get caught up in things, okay? Because, oh, they need me, they need stuff. And we just get caught up in the bad habits. Right? And it's just, well, all the time, the kids sleep in our bed, and, you know, all the time, we're just bailing them out, we're putting all our resources into them, that's just, you know, how it is. No, don't get this wrong. If you want that legacy that Timothy was able to experience, you got to get these things right and in the right order. Be careful who you listen to, okay? It is so easy. There's lots of voices out there. You got to cut through all of the chaos and say, who am I listening to? Because some people are going to celebrate the role of mom. Some people are not. Some people are going to tell you that your most greatest priorities are somewhere else. Okay? So you got to be careful. Who am I allowing to speak into my life? And let me just tell you, ladies, if you don't know this, there is just a wealth of information out there from godly women who want to encourage and help you if you're trying to figure out how to get some of this stuff right. There are loads of resources. I'd be happy to point you in any direction that you need to for that. But be careful. Not everybody should be able to speak into your life. What's their family like? How are they doing? What if they set an example, right? One of your best friends is trying to tell you how to parent, and the marriage is a mess, the kids are a mess. Perhaps not the best person to speak into your life and give you advice, because something perhaps went wrong with theirs. So who are you listening to? Who, when you are frustrated in your marriage, who do you listen to? When you're frustrated with your kids, who do you go to? Who do you look to and say, anybody have some help here? I have no idea what I'm doing. I'm way over my head. Okay, what we don't understand is we all start off with no experience, figuring this out, God, please help us. That's where we all start. And it's who do we allow to speak into our lives when we get to points that we're like, oh, I don't know. What should I do here? What should I do? And sometimes, right, you will call your mom who is tempted to say, I was waiting for you to have a kid just like you. The day has come. I can go home to be with Jesus. I've seen it, okay? Right, they were just waiting for that moment because you were that kid, right? But in serious, right, they'll probably love you and help you and encourage you and perhaps let someone do that. This is, again, what I'm talking about, how important it is, what Paul wrote to Titus about the family of new birth in the church. Because if that's not available in our life, God provides that in the church. If you look around this morning, there's a lot of godly women in the room this morning who could help you and encourage you. If you're stuck on what to do and how to proceed, and I'm not sure how to handle this issue, there are people here who want to help you and encourage you. So the question is this morning, how are you doing? How are you doing? Don't grade yourself, okay? Oh, it's bad. And don't compare yourself either, okay? That's really hard, really hard. Come on. Nobody puts their kids' meltdown on Instagram, do they? No. The kids are lined up, right? They're wearing matching outfits. They all look perfect, okay? And right now is the season, right? My kid graduated, you know, magna cum laude and summa cum laude, and you're like, oh, my goodness, right? So I understand. That is everybody's highlight film, okay, is Instagram and Facebook and all that stuff. And if you're letting that in, it is so easy for you to tell yourself, man, I must be doing something wrong, right? My husband didn't bring home all those flowers, okay? My husband didn't do that, okay? And so it's very easy to get comparison and then to just put yourself down and think, I don't know. I don't have it like everybody else. So be careful. That's that whole speak into your life thing, okay? Instagram probably shouldn't be speaking into your life, telling you what kind of mom you are by looking at pictures of everybody else, okay? You don't know that it took them 6 hours to get all the kids in those outfits, okay, lined up, okay, that, you don't know, under threat of whatever, okay, line up, shut up, okay, we got to get this picture taken. You don't know that. We just see the end result and went, how'd they do that? I don't think I could ever do that. Okay, my kids lined up to one another, just is going to start a big fight. Okay, this is, what am I going to do? So don't let that happen to you. Don't let that be the thing that speaks into your life that somehow demeans you and who you are and what God has called you to do. But rather this morning, take some honest evaluation to ask the Holy Spirit, how am I doing? Do I got things lined up? Do I got things out of whack? Do I got things not going right? Do I got things that are not in order? This is Timothy, and this is what I hope and always pray we can set as an atmosphere in our church. Older women set the example for younger women. It gives a chance for younger women to talk to older women. The same thing is true for the men, okay? And I know you ladies are all arguing over the older. What does that mean? I'm not going to put an age on it this morning. I want to get out alive, okay? So I don't care, okay? So understand that. You have a role. You have a role in this church, okay? Ladies, there might be ladies younger than you who just need some encouragement this morning, okay? Now, I tell the moms all the time who keep worrying, oh, my kid was so loud during your sermon. I don't care. I didn't notice, okay? Right? Nobody did. We were so glad to have kids back in church. Nobody cared. Okay, nobody matters. It doesn't matter, okay? It doesn't matter, okay? But that encouragement for me probably means nothing from you, who they look up to because they say, wow, they're a good mom and look what they do. And your encouragement to them, I'm going to tell you, is going to make a far bigger difference in their life. So maybe look around this room this morning and say, who can I encourage? Who can I help? Who is around that I can speak into and love on because of what God has done in my life? And again, here's your reminder. Your greatest contribution to the kingdom of God might not be something you do, but someone you raise. Our culture, okay, unfortunately, I don't think puts a lot of emphasis on moms. I just don't think it does. I don't think it values them. I think there's lots of things where it just kind of devalues lots of people. And moms is one of those categories, okay? Because as always, what are you going to do? And how are you going to leave a legacy, right? And all we talk about with ladies is what? Glass ceilings, break the glass ceilings. What if you were meant to raise a person to do that? But you're too busy. I got to break it. I got to bust through. I got to be the person that's got my name in all the history books that you forget to raise the next generation and it never happens. That would be a problem. That would be a tragedy. Your greatest contribution in God's kingdom as well might not be sitting on a board, might not be getting to make decisions, might not be ever getting your name in any place in the church where you get recognition. It doesn't matter. You followed your role, you poured into the next generation, and God did something amazing with that. Don't let anybody devalue you. Don't let anybody look down on you. You have an incredible role to live out. Your greatest contribution might not be something you do. It might be someone you raise. And so we want to pray for you this morning. In your role, in your family, that you would see what God is doing and how he is working there and how you can be the type of mom, grandma that helps leave a legacy of faith. So let's pray together and then we're going to worship one more time this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, that was probably a lot to say in just a little bit of time. I hope all the ladies here, all the moms here, all the grandmas here, know how grateful I am for them and them pouring into the next generation. Father, I'm sorry all they seem to hear is you're not enough. You're not enough. You're not enough. You got to do more. You got to break glass ceilings and do all these other things. And they've never considered it might be someone they raise. Maybe Lois never thought about that when she was pouring in to Eunice. And maybe the two of them never thought that as they poured in to Timothy. And that 2,000 years later, their name is mentioned, not for something they did, but for someone they raised. May that be our legacy, that we would be less concerned about how we can leave our name somewhere and we instead pour into the next generation and watch what you do with that. So I pray, Father, you would encourage all the moms watching and in the room that they would see how important their role is. They would be reminded that if we get priorities right, it makes a difference. And that you would lead them out here encouraged and excited for what you have called them to be as mothers. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your encouragement. Lead us and direct us. In Jesus' name,